We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto, chapter 18, entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. First text 42, which has no purport, and then 43, which is on the board. Navai nribir nara devam parakyam samatumarhasya vipakva bude. Yate jasadur visahena gupta vindanti badranya kuto baya praja. Translation. O my boy, your intelligence is immature, and therefore you have no knowledge that the king, who is the best among human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. He's never to be placed on an equal footing with common man. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. Text 43. Alakshyamane naradevanamni. Ratangapana vayamangaloka. Tada hi chaura prachuro vinunkshate. Arakshamano vivaruttavatksana. Alakshyamane. Being abolished. Naradeva. Monarchical. Namni. Of the name. Ratangapana. The representative of the Lord. I am this. Anga. Oh my boy. Lokaha. This world. Tadahi. At once, chura, thieves, prachuraha, too much, vinankshati, vanquishes, arakshamanaha, being not protected, avivaruttavat, like lamps, ksanat, at once. Translation. My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. Purport. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the monarchical regime represents the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. The king is said to be the representative of the absolute personality of Godhead because he's trained to acquire the qualities of God to protect the living beings. The battle of Kurukshetra was planned by the Lord to establish the real representative of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhisthira. An ideal king, thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service with the martial spirit, makes a perfect king. Such a personal monarchy is far better than the so-called democracy of no training and responsibility. The thieves and rogues of modern democracy seek election by misrepresentation of votes, and the successful rogues and thieves devour the mass of population. One trained monarch is far better than hundreds of useless ministerial rogues. And it is hinted herein that by abolition of a monarchical regime, like that of Maharaj Parikshit, the mass of people become open to many attacks of the age of Kali. They're never happy in an overly advertised form of democracy. The result of such a kingless administration is described in the following verses. So as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the monarchical regime represents the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. The king is said to be the representative of the absolute personality of Godhead because he's trained to acquire the qualities of God to protect the living beings. So there is no question of happiness or peace in society, nor prosperity in society, when the leadership is not acting according to the will of the Lord. Only if we live in this material world according to the plan of the Supreme Lord will everything become auspicious. Just as it is stated that devotional service immediately destroys all suffering. Klesakni and then Subhada. Devotional service destroys all suffering and immediately makes everything auspicious. So when the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that king can uphold the principles that are established in the scriptures. The king himself will certainly not act independent. Independence is a false position, because there is no living entity that is independent. Nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekubhavanam yuvidadati kamam. That all living beings are eternal. And the Supreme Lord is also eternal. And all living beings are depending upon that one Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is making His will known in the scriptures and through His devotees, through the Brahmanas. And in this way, the kings were able to represent the Supreme Lord. The kings may not have always had direct contact with the Supreme Lord within their heart. But the kings were being advised by Brahmanas. The kings were being educated in proper knowledge from scriptures. And still, we find that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a description how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Bengal and was on the way to Vrindavan and stopped in Ramakeli. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped in Ramakeli, at that time he met the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, who were residing there in this very nice place where they had created a replica of Vrindavan. It is said that Rupa and Sanatan, when they were young, were recruited by the Muslim ruler by force to engage in government service. Some very convincing arguments were given that family members, not they themselves, but that their family members would not live a long life. So therefore Rupa and Sanatan surrendered and took up the service in the government. And they were residing there in this village of Ramakeli. It is said that they spend a lot of their time studying the scriptures, and in the Bhakti Ratnakara it is mentioned how they invited brahmanas and pandits from all over India to come and stay there, and they built nice cottages for them, and every day there were discussions on Bhagavatam. So in this way they were discussing with the most learned pandits on Bhagavatam. So Rupa and Sanatan were extraordinary devotees. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to this village of Ramakeli, naturally there were different devotees that were following him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, and wherever he traveled, he created a lot of commotion. People, we find descriptions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat about what happened when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled. And it is said that in some places, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk on the road and the local people would just take the entire road. They would all collect some dust, and after some time there was no road left. People took the entire road home. So we can imagine it must have been quite a crowd, possibly even bigger than what we are experiencing here these days. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was followed by a crowd. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, secretly. They were incognito meeting the Lord and then surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered certain prayers and so on. And then at one point in time, they advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to not travel with so many men in going to Vrindavan, and that it also would attract the attention of the government, which might not be reliable. Anyway, a little later in this same narration, the Muslim ruler is inquiring from his minister. He's inquiring from his minister as to who is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is he? Who is he? That so many people are being mobilized by him. What is it in him that he has such extraordinary qualities? Who is he? The minister, who was a Hindu minister, said that, all these stories are highly exaggerated. Right? There are not that many people. It's just all rumors, and you know how rumors are. They just multiply and so on. But the king didn't buy it. Right? He didn't buy it. The king had no faith in the words of his minister, and could see he's trying to protect Mahaprabhu. Then he asked Sanatan Goswami. He asked Sanatan Goswami, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Sanatan Goswami replied and said, you look in your heart. You look in your heart, because you are the king. And therefore, you look in your heart and the truth will be revealed. So it's quite something, because here was a Yavana king, a meat eater, not at all a qualified pure devotee king like Maharaj Yudhisthira or like Maharaj Pariksit, right? But rather a Yavana king. And nonetheless, Sanatan Goswami, who was certainly not an ordinary person, but a fully transcendental authority, right? Sanatan Goswami established, yes, you can know the truth in your heart. Because the Supreme Lord uses the king as his instrument. So this is a very significant point to understand, that the king is not an ordinary person at any point in time. And even when the king himself may lack qualifications, still, so is mentioned in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then still it should be understood that that king is somehow or other chosen by the Supreme Lord. And therefore this Yavana king was chosen by the Supreme Lord as his instrument, although he did not have so many qualifications. And the Lord was working through him. So it is very interesting to see how this is the system of the Supreme Lord. This is the order of the universe. Monarchy is not an ordinary political system. It is not a political system where a powerful man naturally takes the power. And when a powerful man has taken his power position, that then naturally the thieves and rogues are being controlled because there's law and order. Yeah? It really goes to a much deeper level. And the deeper level is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead works through this system of a king. He works through a powerful personality who, ideally speaking, should be trained. And then the king will be acting as the representative of the Supreme Lord. Still, there may be gradations. We're also seeing here in the purport some reference to the battle of Kurukshetra, which was planned by the Lord to establish the real representative of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, before the battle of Kurukshetra, had performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. And in this Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhisthira, at the time, had followed the procedures of receiving certain respectable personalities and properly worshipping all these senior respectable personalities. Then Maharaj Yudhisthira, as he was offering worship to the seniors, he chose Krishna as the senior most. Right? And that was something remarkable, because socially speaking, Krishna was not the senior most. Socially speaking, Grandfather Bhishma was there. One of the elders. And Krishna, being a family member in the Kuru dynasty, was certainly not senior to Bhishma Dev and so many others present there, right? In the social sense. But Maharaj Yudhisthira did not claim the seniority of Krishna on the basis of his social position, but rather on the basis of his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, although the Rajasuya sacrifice in itself is not a sacrifice to merely worship the Lord, okay? Rather it is a sacrifice to invoke blessings upon the world. But Maharaj Yudhisthira used that sacrifice for establishing that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that made Maharaj Yudhisthira more than any other Vedic king. That made him a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, being a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, therefore was the most desirable king, the most desirable emperor for the entire world. And that was Krishna's desire. And that is really the essence. Varnashram vibhagasasam siddhir haritosanam. That ultimately Varnashram is only really relevant if it is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it is simply utilized for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, not padiyat ratim srama evihi kevalam. Otherwise, simply a waste of energy, a waste of time. Ultimately, we are interested in pure Krishna consciousness. Because the Vedic culture is a very slow and gradual culture for step by step purifying one's existence and step by step come closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically describing the greatness of Maharaj Yudhisthira and then the greatness of Maharaj Pariksit, stating that Maharaj Pariksit was just like his grandfather. The Vipras, the learned brahmanas who were expert at Karmakanda rituals. These Vipras were professional reciters, Magadas. It is said at the time that Maharaj Prithu performed the sacrifice, at that time brahmanas were very expert in glorifying, and since that time in their family lineage they continued as brahmanas who would who would be expert in glorification. So in Vedic cultures, and they were known as Magadhas. So many types of Brahmanas. Brahmanas that were expert in glorification, in functions, and so on. So such Brahmanas, before the birth of Maharaj Pariksit, had astrologically calculated his position and had understood that he was totally qualified, equally qualified to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Namely, that he was a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of this chapter, it is stated that Samika Rishi, the father of the Brahmana boy Sringi, and both Maharaj Pariksit were totally transcendental personalities. And they were personally not affected by whatever transpired. They themselves simply took the entire curse of the Brahmana boy as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And they were taking it that the Brahmana boy was just an instrument of the Supreme Lord. So, although the Brahmana boy was acting inappropriately, was acting due to false pride, was not submissive, was not taking shelter of authority, was not acting with blessings. The entire principle of spiritual life, that one can only function with blessings. The Brahmanas equally so. Vaishnavas and Brahmanas can only function with blessings. And such blessings are not just words spoken. Although, when a great saintly personality just says, "I bless you," that is a great blessing. But blessings actually mean that there is appreciation and sanction, that the superiors are sanctioning the activities of their dependents. And that one, in this way, is blessed. Blessed by their permission. Blessed by their approval. So blessings include approval of our activities. Bless these activities. Yes. Or bless me, then, if the activities are not approved, by disapproval, by chastisement, by strong correction. Also blessing. But a Brahmin boy should have taken blessings each step of the way. The whole system is that one is progressing along the path according to the directions of a superior, according to the blessings of a superior. Yes, now you are ready for this step. Now you are ready for the next. And in this way, Sringi should have operated. Janmanam jayate sudra. By birth, everyone is sudra. Sanskarit bhavidvija. By sanskara, one can become twice born. Vedapatit bhavidvipra. By following the path of the Vedas, one can become Vipra. But this deals particularly with the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. A Vipra is specifically learned in performing the Karmakanda rituals. And a Brahmana, Brahmana iti janatiti Brahmana. A Brahmana should know Brahman. That's why he's Brahmana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, Brahmana knows Brahman, or worships Brahman. Vaishnava worships Vishnu, and Karsna worships Krishna. And like that, he makes a distinction. We are sometimes referring to ourselves as, or mostly as Vaishnavas, but sometimes also as Karsnas, particularly those who worship Krishna. So, Maharaj Pariksit was such a devotee. Such a devotee like Maharaj Pariksit is not under the laws of material nature. Such a devotee is not under the influence of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, it is clear that Sringi could not have possibly removed the king without the will of the Supreme Lord. It's not possible. So therefore, ultimately, one can understand that there was a plan. There was a superior plan in the whole affair. Because, after all, Kali Yuga was destined to begin. Kali Yuga has to begin. Because the living entities are becoming gradually more and more degraded. And then, in the age of Kali, a special concession is made that even those who are not qualified can get the human form of life. By our qualifications in a previous age, we would probably not have achieved the human form of life. We would have probably been in lower species. But in this age, the standard for the human form of life is not very high. It is therefore possible for those who have many animal propensities, but a slight inclination towards the absolute truth. After all, it says, Dharmena hina pasubhiya satamana, that without dharma, one is equal to an animal. And that is the distinction between animal and human being, that the human being is capable of following some level of dharma, or at least to inquire into the absolute truth. Atato brahma yigyasa. Ata means therefore. Therefore, now let us inquire into the absolute truth. Therefore, meaning now that we have attained the human form of life. Therefore, now that we have attained the human form of life, let's inquire into the absolute truth. So, that's the idea that a human being can follow principles of dharma, that a human being can inquire into the absolute truth. So even a slight inclination towards that is sufficient for obtaining the human form of life in this age of Kali, whereas the standard for the human form of life is much higher in previous yugas. So Kali Yuga had to appear. Kali Yuga offers so much mercy in so many ways. It makes spiritual life so easily available, and that, of course, is very essential. But at the same time, although it's so easily available, although there is so much mercy available, we have so little strength, so little personal strength. So it's still a great, great struggle. Just as it's Prabhupada mentioned that in this age, if someone can follow the four regulative principles, he will be considered a great saintly personality. And I used to think, when I first heard this statement, yes, Kali Yuga. But now, I'm looking at that same statement of so many years, observing how much struggle there is with the four regulative principles. If we look at the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we look at how much struggle there is across the board, all over the world, in India and outside of India. I was a temple president for quite some years, and then so much private information is being discussed about so many personal problems that so many people have. And what shall we say? It is a fact that in this age, to just follow the basic principles of giving up sinful life, four regulative principles, that is very difficult. Then one is considered a great saintly personality. Whereas Prabhupada said, this is where human life begins. It's only the beginning. That's only the beginning platform. So, let's lead up to a conclusion. The conclusion is that what was transpiring here was ordained by the Supreme Lord because the yugas had to change and Kali Yuga had to come about. Although Sringi was the instrument of the Supreme Lord, that didn't mean that he had no personal responsibility. Sringi himself was an upstart. Sringi himself was obnoxious. Sringi himself was falsely proud. Sringi himself was totally attached to designation. He was so proud of his birth position and he was totally misbehaving. And therefore, Sringi was responsible. Although he acted as the instrument of the Lord and the result that was obtained was the will of the Lord, Sringi had to take the reaction. It is mentioned that cursing Maharaj Pariksit was certainly a very sinful activity, very extremely sinful. And therefore we understand that Sringi had to take extremely heavy sinful reactions for his activity. And we see that his father is apologizing on his behalf later in the chapter. And that basically for doing so, his father actually diminished the sinful reactions of Sringi, to some extent. So his father actually absolved him to some extent from the sinful reactions. And of course also himself. But we understand that even the father was fully aware that he was responsible. We find in the Bhagavatam, we find the reference of the Yamadutas who came to take Ajamil. And then there's this debate with the Vishnu Dutas. And at one point it's turned out that the Yamadutas were taking Ajamil by mistake because he had chanted the holy name at the end of his life. So then, at one point in time, Yamaraj appears personally. And Yamaraj is personally begging for forgiveness for the offenses and mistakes that have been made by his servants. And it is explained that the master is responsible for the mistakes of his servants. And Vedic scriptures are extensively dealing with that. For example, the king is getting 1/6 of the reactions of his subjects. No wonder that when you look at pictures of presidents of America, that you can see how they're changing, right? After 4 years in office. It's heavy duty karma. And not only in America or anywhere in the world. So we are seeing that in this age, it's now that Kali is predominant, somehow or other, there is no proper political system anywhere in the world. And there is constant harassment. And we ourselves are also harassed. We are either directly harassed or indirectly harassed. Directly, maybe by some undue tax or whatever. Or just harassed indirectly because the whole world is mad. And all that madness is allowed. Just like I remember that I had, when I was a new devotee, I had first stayed in India for a while and then I went to Amsterdam. And the temple in Amsterdam was in the center of the city. And I used to take the laundry of all the brahmacharis around the corner to a laundromat, and I had to sit there while it was being washed. And opposite of the laundromat, there was the Dutch Society for Sexual Reform. And boy, it was heavy. It was super heavy. They had all these big posters about any type of illicit sex and asking, are you sure that you are not attracted to this? Are you really sure that you wouldn't want to try this? If you do, just ring this number. Or if you want, just come inside and we'll give you a brochure. It was really something to take the mind for a ride. And that is the Western world. We are being bombarded with all kinds of illicit activity, illicit sex, and so many other things are constantly being thrown in our face. And it's all being allowed. It's all allowed. So in this way, we are being harassed very much indirectly by this, by the lack of proper government, and it is very austere and difficult to deal with all that. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized the importance of the Holy Dhamma. And he emphasized the importance of coming at least once a year to the Holy Dhamma. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada set up the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival for that purpose. And he said that because the devotees have to stay in the Western world and deal with all these contaminated influences of Kali Yuga, then they can come to the Dhamma. Not that in the Dhamma, the influence of Kali Yuga is not present. No, in the Dhamma, the influence of Kali Yuga is also present, but still it is diminished. It is diminished. And therefore, when we come here in Sridhara Mayapur, then we are experiencing such a relief. It is also stated that in the Navadvipa Mahatmya from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the that Vrindavan is becoming less and less manifest. And we're seeing that really it's happening quick. Raman Reti, right, just behind our temple. Now there's nothing left of it. There's a big wall around it, the Krishna Balaram tree. We used to go there. No more Balaram, only Krishna left. Right? Like that, the Parikram path covered under asphalt. But here in Sridhara Mayapur, it said the Dham will become more and more manifest. So here, specifically, we have our shelter. We have some shelter of a little world where we can actually do things right, where things are proper, where everything is transcendental. And where it reminds us a little bit of the world which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. A world where a proper king is ruling. And in such a conducive atmosphere, one can so easily absorb transcendental knowledge. We started a little late, that's why I'm also have gone a little late. But now I will stop because people have classes and so on and other things to do. So any questions or any comments? Yes. Shrinky was sinful and then?
So was he also offensive? And what the difference between sinful and offensive?
Offensive What is the difference between sinful activity and offensive activity? All sinful activity is always offensive. However, in our dealings with the Supreme Lord or His devotees, right, we can directly make offenses in our dealings with them. Whereas when we are engaging in dealings in the material world and we act against the injunctions of the scripture, we're speaking of sinful activities. And when we're speaking in not respecting the devotees or the Lord directly, we're speaking of offensive activities. Still, it's also offensive to not follow the directions of the Lord. So that distinction is being made is more a semantical distinction than a philosophical distinction. Because philosophically, not following the desire of the Lord is offensive and sinful. Therefore, becoming sinful by committing offenses. One will become covered and one will again engage in sinful activity. So in one sense, although in speech a distinction is made, in one sense there is no difference. Then I saw him. So we hear about the need for qualified leaders, and why is it that we don't have a system in place to train qualified leaders? I think that there's a lot of systems that we don't have in place. Right? So you can single out this particular one system, but I think that we are still in very early stages of this movement. And I think we are just sort of coming to a stage where we begin to appreciate that that there is room for human qualities in a heart in our movement, and that is the big theme of the day. I think that in an earlier stage of our history, some attempts were made to establish Varna Ashram, and I think that there was a very rigorous understanding of it. Now we're coming to filling it in on a little more human way. I think there's some who are developing vision about Varna Ashram. For example, a few days ago, Bhakti Vichapurna Maharaj was speaking and he's doing something. Many others are doing something. And I guess it has to grow. I don't think it's just a matter of sitting in a meeting and passing a resolution. Let's put a system into place. And there was a system, and it was in place because there was a resolution. It seems that it's a growing process, and that gradually it will develop more and more. But Prabhupada pointed out that particularly he was interested in again creating a class of brahmanas and kshatriyas. He mentions that in the conversations. It is stated like that. It's a work in progress. Yes.
Now, the relationship between the king and the brahmanas is one of symbiosis and interdimensions. But my question is about power. So the interdependent relationship, is the power centralized, or where does it lie?
The brahmanas will always have the power in relation to principles. The kshatriyas have the power in relation to execution. Just like in the case of Arjuna, he was a Kshatriya, and Krishna was taking the role of his instructor at the time. And we remember that Aswatthama had been caught, and that the Pandavas were there, and that there was a whole discussion that Aswatthama should be killed, should not be killed, and Bhima and Draupadi were even fighting, and Krishna took four hands to keep them apart. And then Arjuna had a difficult task, to satisfy everyone. And he did so by cutting the top knot of Aswatthama. So that was Kshatriya. He was upholding the principle, but he was very resourceful in the execution. Suryam tejati daksham. The Kshatriya is resourceful. He's very resourceful. The Brahmana, the principal. Remember King Riga and that Brahmana? That Brahmana had received the cows of King Riga. The cows just wandered away from his herd, went back into the herd, and were given to a second Brahmana. Both the Brahmanas came before the king and said, "We want our cow." King said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. This cow, by mistake, walked back into the herd. I gave it twice. I'll compensate with 100 cows. "No," the Brahmana said. "No compromise. No principle. No compromise. No compromise for practicality." Brahmana, all about principle. Right? And the Kshatriya, well, what can you do? He has to do something. He has to make a practical decision. He has to try to uphold the principle. Sometimes, in practicality, he adjusts the principles. Then the Brahmanas may cry out and say, "No! Cannot be adjusted." All right. Go back to the principle. So in this way, the dynamics are going. Sometimes they may allow that he adjusts the principles because life goes on and practicality carries on. So there is a mutual dynamics of a balancing dynamics between the two. Kshatriya. Anyone else? Mataji.
There are wonderful disciples of the Holy Spirit in each day of Brahma and during the night. And I was just wondering if in the beginning of each time you, I think when it comes.
In each beginning of Kali Yuga, it may not necessarily be the same person, but Bhagavatam is revealed. Yeah. So the pastimes may differ a little, but Bhagavatam is revealed. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.